Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Impeachment of President Donald Trump dominated last week's news space, but something else happened in Washington, D.C., which could ultimately prove to be more important. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement was approved. The USMCA is a revamped trade deal that replaces NAFTA. The North American Free Trade Agreement was about 25 years old and needed to be updated. Congressman Henry Cuellar, a Democrat who represents South San Antonio to the Laredo area on the border, was a central player in pushing for this updated Continental Free Trade Deal. I spoke to Cuellar about the USMCA's passage.
Yeah, it seems like you Santa Claus being very good to you this year.
It's been extremely good to me. Appropriations extremely well, so many things, which we'll talk over the next couple months or so.
Yeah, during the primaries.
Of course, the big one is the trade agreement. That's the big one for Texas on that. And you know, it was amazing. Every Texan voted yes, and on top of that, there were actually more Democrats than Republicans voting in favor.
To help the listener understand the difference between NAFTA, which a lot of us are familiar with, and we saw President Trump on the campaign trail saying it was the worst deal ever, and now we've had the USMCA, and this is somehow different and better.
Well, first of all, 95% of this UMCA, which I call NAFTA 2.0, is just like the original NAFTA, 95%. But it's that extra 5% that is critical. By that, I mean, you know, the president added, content for the automobiles, but then the Democrats, we got in and we asked for four things: labor reform, which Mexico did historic labor reform, enforcement, which the Mexicans had a lot of money for enforcement of their labor changes, the environmental, we added over $500 million for the border to make sure we address water and waste, projects that we have. In fact, I asked Pelosi for one thing: can we add the net bank authorization, add some monies? And guess what? The bank, which is my bill, it's in there. It's going to be reauthorized. Plus, it's got an additional $250 million, $300 million for EPA. So that got in. And then, of course, the last thing was pharmaceuticals prices. So overall, the 95% is the same, but that 5% is critical.
What does this mean for business in South Texas and the border?
Well, it's not only for the border, but for the state of Texas and so many other states. We look at every day there's more than $1.7 billion of trade between the U.S. and Mexico. That's over $1 million every single minute. For us, let's say the border in Laredo, for example, Laredo handles about 40% of all the trade between the U.S. and Mexico. The Laredo district, which is Del Rio all the way to Brownsville, we handle over 60% of all the trade between the U.S. and Mexico. So border cities are going to benefit by this increase of trade. And, of course, Texas is going to win because, as you know, this is a win-win for in Texas, for the ranchers, the farmers, the small businesses, and of course, the workers, because they get a more fair type of a trade agreement to provide those jobs here. There are millions of jobs in the U.S. that have been created because of NAFTA, and I think with this increase, CBP has told me that, for example, in certain ports of entry, like in Laredo, they expect, if everything stays the same, a 5 to 10% increase every year because of the new NAFTA.
We saw President Trump threaten to shut down the southern border over, he called it an emergency, but it looked pretty political to a lot of people. Is there any provision in the USMCA that would sort of prevent having politics shut down the southern trade on the southern border?
you know, the president always wants to use the hammer with our friends. And as you know, I disagree when he sees Mexico as an enemy and Russia as a friend. I disagree with his vision. Mexico is an ally, and I want to see a strong, prosperous Mexico because of, you know, all the, you know, think of all the ag products, the refined fuels that we send down there. I mean, we make billions of dollars because of the trade that we have with Mexico. So to threaten Mexico the way he did it is wrong. Then you saw what he did. He took a lot of our CBP officers from, you know, men and women in blue from our bridges to go to McAllen at the Border Patrol Processing Center. So, yeah, we got to get away from that politics. I mean, when you're dealing with the border and the rest of the country, this type of politics is not good for business. Business wants certainty. Businesses grow when there is certainty, and we need to make sure that we respect this new trade agreement once it's finalized by the Senate sometime next year. And we gotta make sure we bring certainty to the border.
When this is finally inked and we have some sort of paper and everyone's happy and slapping each other on the back, do you think that will be a big step forward towards normalizing the White House relationship with Mexico and no longer trying to demonize our southern neighbor?
I hope so. I mean, if the president respects an agreement that was so bipartisan in the passage, I hope he respects Mexico. Again, he's got this thing from the very beginning that Mexico's an enemy and Russia's a friend. That vision is not the vision of the United States without respect to the president. Mexico's an ally. We need a strong, prosperous, secure Canada and Mexico, and we need to treat them as equal partners.
And what's your favorite part? What is the thing you're most proud of with the USMCA?
Two things. One, its passage, because it's going to bring certainty and increase business for our U.S. economy, number one. And number two, the over $500 million of environmental dollars for the Rio Grande and the reauthorization of the Net Bank, that will be good for border communities. So we can have on both sides of the river, especially on our side, to make sure we have safe drinking water, that we have waste treatment plants, to make sure that provides the healthy environment that we deserve here on the border.
Congressman Henry Cuellar, a Democrat representing South Texas, he was a central player in the passage of the USMCA, which supporters say could help revitalize U.S. manufacturing and benefit economic growth for the United States, Mexico, and Canada. When we come back from the break, we continue our conversation about the USMCA. If you got questions or comments, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @TPRSource. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We continue our conversation about the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, and Texas, how it's going to mean for Texas, and particularly South Texas, San Antonio, and the borderlands. And we invite you into our conversation. If you've got a question or a comment about the USMCA and trade with Mexico, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And with us to tell us more about that, we're joined by Raymond Robertson, director of the Mosbacher Institute of Trade and Economics and Public Policy at Texas A&M University. Jeff Mosley is the president and CEO of the Texas Association of Business. And with us in the studio, Jerry Schwabel, executive vice president at the International Bank of Commerce in Laredo and member of the U.S.-Mexico CEO Dialogue and the U.S.-Mexico Economic Council. It's great to have all of y'all here this afternoon. And so Raymond Robertson with Texas A&M University, if you could tell me more about your overall impressions of the USMCA and why is this a big deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal for a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, as the congressman said, trade between Texas and Mexico is incredibly important to both economies. It's especially important to Texas's economy. Texas is the largest exporter of all the 50 states, and Mexico is its number one trading partner. We get thousands and thousands of jobs coming from this trade with Mexico. But the thing that I think most people don't realize or appreciate is, I've shown in some of the research I've done, is that actually Texas and Mexico don't represent two separate economies. It's actually a single labor market. It's a single economy closely integrated through production and trade relationships. So having this kind of agreement is actually really critical for growth on both sides of the border.
Can you tell me more about how do you say that? How do we just give me some more details about how we have a shared economy?
Sure. Well, first of all, what I've shown is the labor markets are very closely integrated. So if you do any kind of traditional labor market measures, the wages respond to the same types of stimuli, and obviously the flows of workers, which has been very important, makes the two economies very deeply integrated. But I think more intuitively, when you think about production relationships, if you look at most of the manufacturing trade between Texas and Mexico, it's in automobiles and it's in electronics. And what's going on there is not competition for jobs. It's actually the United States and Texas produces parts that are sent to Mexico. Mexico uses those parts to further assembly and move along the production process. And then they send other goods back to Texas for further assembly, right? So we're sharing the production of single goods, which means we're not competing as much as it is we're working together in a single economic unit.
And in the USMCA, there are new, tougher requirements for parts that are manufactured in the continent, not just assembled. So that's going to require more production. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so in particular, think about automobiles, right? So they did raise the standard. The USMCA requires that 75% of an automobile's parts be made in North America to qualify for NAFTA, which is up from 62.5%, and that 40% be built by people making at least $16 an hour, which makes it hard for Mexico to qualify for that because their workers don't make anywhere near that. And as an economist, honestly, and talking to lots of business folks, I know that your other guests can speak to this, but that was one of the provisions people were less excited about because, you know, there's a chance that it might bring some jobs to the U.S., but not very many. But what it really does is it raises costs for the automobile industry. It makes us less competitive relative to Asia and Europe and other areas producing cars.
So that gets to the heart of what the USMCA is, which is we don't have the word free trade in this agreement. And some people say this is not really about free trade, but more like managed trade. NAFTA was about free trade. And so that it is about trying to heal some of the damage, or not damage, but some of the causality that we saw with NAFTA. So Jeff Mosley, the president and CEO of the Texas Association of Business, what do you see as the big takeaways with the USMCA?
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the invitation to talk about this very important topic, and what a delight to be sharing this time, not only with you, David, but with Dr. Robertson and with Jerry Schwebel. The Texas Association is very, very pleased with this very nice development in the U.S. House of Representatives, but it's real interesting as we talk about USMCA and how it's evolved, to even go back and remind ourselves that, you know, George H.W. Bush, he had this vision of North America, even at that time combining with South America, to have this one large trade zone so we could compete with Europe and with Asia. And, of course, it was ultimately up to President Clinton to close the deal and ratify the trade agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. So after a quarter century of seeing how dramatically this treaty has worked, it was time to go back and fine-tune it. There are some very strong labor provisions in this agreement to bring along Democratic support. And I guess it is, Dr. Robertson was saying, there are going to be some challenges with some of those labor agreements. The good news is that we do have a very strong vested interest in especially the Mexican economy And giving them that opportunity to tap in and help us is to our benefit. We want to make sure that Mexico's economy is secure and that it's growing and dynamic. And this trade agreement has really demonstrated the win-win of that relationship. We have about 1 million Texans that rely on their jobs and their livelihood because of trade with Canada and Mexico. 1 million Texas families. So to get this finality and to resolve the questions about the next forward is very, very significant to the Texas economy. And it also means that there are strategic investors that have been waiting on the sidelines, and now they have a lot more certainty as they look forward, you know, on how to invest. We do know that the border is going to significantly benefit by removing this uncertainty. The one area, and you've got Jerry Schwebel on there in the studio with you. He'll be absolutely the best source on this whole point. But we were pushing hard to find some dollars to invest in the infrastructure to get goods to market. Our border crossings are absolutely stressed, and we know that as NAFTA goes to its second generation through USMCA, there'll be even more demand for cleaning up the patchwork quilt of bridges and border crossing structures that started back during the Eisenhower administration. But overall, this is a really wonderful step forward. And, of course, Senator Cornyn, Senator Cruz have been strong voices in this. When the Republicans had the majority in the House, Congressman Brady, as chairman of the Ways and Means, was a very strong voice, and he's worked tremendously well with Congressman Cuellar. So this really has been a strong bipartisan move. And remarkably, every one of our 36 U.S. House members voted in favor of ratification. That is remarkable because it means that a lot of the tough questions related to pharma, to labor, environment, were all addressed in this trade document. I'll just close with this, too. Interestingly, the administration decided to back away from years of work under the Obama administration for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, interestingly, would have given us a bigger voice to compete with China. But for whatever reason, this administration decided not to proceed with TPP. However, a lot of that hard work that went into the Trans-Pacific Partnership related to intellectual property and technology platforms, that work that went into TPP could be kind of cut and paste it into this document, and that's why USMCA could move as quickly as it did, because a lot of that work had been done in the years prior to related to the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
All right. Jeff Mosley, President and CEO of the Texas Association of Business. Jerry Schwebel, Executive Vice President, International Bank of Commerce, IBC. You guys know trade, and you know trade with Mexico very well. And you're right there on the border in Laredo. You've seen the explosion of trade. Your downtown headquarters, you know, you can see the bridges from there and the trucks and all that. So to the point that Jeff Mosley brings up, you know, will the infrastructure and the border be ready for this if things do even get even more intense?
Well, it's up to us to make sure that it not only is ready, but will remain ready for the years to come. One of the challenges, one of the things I think we were excited to see in this particular USMCA is a chapter dedicated to customs and trade facilitation for our ports of entry that really allowed at reviewing the efficiencies of the process to support that supply chain strategies of North American trade. So the infrastructure that's at our ports of entry, a lot of folks believe it's responsibility of the local communities, but these are ports of entry that are of state and national significance. So it requires us to work together with the federal and state governments to make sure that we have the adequate funding to support that infrastructure in Texas, particularly for our 28 ports of entry.
Now, there's been a lot of talk here about this brings a level of certainty to trade with Mexico, vitally important with us here in Texas and across the nation. But Jerry Schwebel, you know, this concern, though, that Donald Trump has done it, threatened to declare an emergency and shut down trade with Mexico, seemingly, you know, with very little provocation. Is that a concern still, even with the USMCA?
Well, definitely it's a concern. The border shutdown is something that's just totally out of the question for us. And we will always fight that. It's important that we make sure that we don't leave any room for that possibility by making sure that the flow of commerce grows, a legitimate, secure trade grows, and maintains the robust economies of the three countries. That's why if you leave, you know, any issues or any room out there for someone to threaten that, whatever you want to call it, a strategy, it's not something that we're going to be, you know, looking favorably at. We'll fight it.
So the continued integration of the economies between the three nations would make something like that, you don't want to hold yourself hostage with that kind of a threat.
If you look at the three countries and you look at the benefits, these being win-win-win for each country, then I don't think that'll be at the table of having a discussion. That's why we want to make sure that we're constantly tracking and monitoring, making sure that this agreement fulfills what we believe it will do for the three countries.
Let's go to the phones with Michael, 210-614-8980. Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I've been conducting some research on economic development in small cities of South Texas, like Uvalde, Gonzales, Beeville, and a couple of others. And one thing I find is that there's very little activity with Mexico. I mean, there are some livestock supply chain things that they do. There's a lot of, feed crops that are produced in Texas that are sent southbound, and then a lot of calves that are sent northbound. But besides that, I'm almost seeing some missed opportunities here. And I just wonder if your panelists have any thoughts on how small cities of South Texas could participate more in that trade.
All right, Michael, that's a great point. Jerry Schwabel with IBC.
Well, we've seen, especially in the agricultural side, a tremendous change in the last 25 years. Our appetites, you know, have changed. Yes, products coming out of Mexico, but there are also exports. You know, cotton is one of our biggest exporters, Texas cotton, that for the textile industry. But there are opportunities for the agricultural sector as well from Texas to take advantage perhaps of more exports, not just to Mexico, but to Canada as well. So I think it's a very valid point that we look and explore what products can be exported or even what products can be imported that would enhance products that the U.S., Canadian, or Mexican consumer could take advantage of at a very competitive price.
And Jeff Mosley with the Texas Association of Business, very quickly, and I do want to continue this point throughout the rest of the hour, though, that this does a USMCA present opportunities in Texas, and can something like the Texas Association of Business help small business people find those opportunities and use them?
Oh, great question. To Jerry's point, now that we've got this refreshed agreement, it's a wonderful opportunity to go out and review with our business leaders the opportunities within the new agreement. At the Texas Association of Business, we're the State Chamber of Commerce. We have a Texas-Mexico Trade Coalition, and we will be planning to go out and meet in our chamber community with roundtable discussions to review exactly what those new opportunities look like for our communities and for those small businesses.
Yeah, I remember after NAFTA, excuse me, there was a lot of energy trying to help people find partners. There was a matchmaking going on, and I know IBC was part of that, helping businesses in Texas find partners they could work with in Mexico to do trading, to part manufacturing in one part, send it over to Mexico to do some assembly, bring it back over, back and forth. And so possibly the USMCA will see a reinvigoration of that energy, helping businesses in Texas find partners in Mexico so that they can build upon this new energy. If you got a question along those lines, call in. Do you own a business that trades frequently with Mexico or Canada? Are you satisfied with the new North American trade deal? What do you want to know about the USMCA and how it could affect you? How could this impact the job market and also in Texas? 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Remember the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA? We had the signing actually here in San Antonio. It was a big thing, and that was 25 years ago. The U.S. economy has changed quite a bit. Mexico's economy has changed a lot since then. It needed to be updated. So out with NAFTA and in with the USMCA. And this creates a new opportunities for South Texas. San Antonio will continue to be pretty much at the heart, at the center of the trade between the three countries, U.S., Mexico, and Canada. But what opportunities does that open up for San Antonio? And how can you, as a small business person or someone planning for the future, looking for investments, what does that mean for you? Call in. Questions are welcome. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Also, if you saw a big changes with NAFTA, what did you see? We'd like to hear that. And if you think that's going to continue, accelerate, or maybe change, 210-614-8980. Let's go to Raymond Robertson, director of the Mosbacher Institute for Trade, Economics, and Public Policy at Texas A&M University. And I really would like to hear what you have to think about the wages of and how it could be impacted in South Texas and in Mexico with the USMCA?
Well, I think that's a great question for a number of reasons. I mean, people are really interested in what this means for them, and wages are key. One of the things that we've noticed from our research is that there's nearly 40,000 companies in Texas that are exporting, and that's really important because, you know, the wages and earnings of those small and medium-sized enterprises those people work in, you know, to make their living are a lot higher when you're exporting. So having opportunities to export can really mean a big increase in your own income, right? And so that's why this kind of agreement contributes to growth and contributes to higher living standards and higher wages for people engaged in trade.
That provision that requires 40 to 45% of all automotive content to be produced by workers making at least $16 an hour, and you say that's pretty much out of reach of the Mexico that we have now, right?
That's right, right. I think wages, you know, you think of wages in Mexico are a lot lower. They're about a tenth of what they are in the U.S. So it's not unusual to see wages in Mexico to be $5 an hour or even less than that. So for automobile production. So one of the goals of having this provision was to try and shift some of that production from Mexico back into the United States. But of course, you know, it's always possible to shift production from China or other, you know, Eastern Europe or something into the United States to reach that goal. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that the jobs would come from Mexico, or you could even shift some of those jobs to Mexico. I mean, to the last caller's comments, if I may, I mean, this is what people were really hoping for to happen in the border. I was down in McAllen talking to the Economic Development Corporation, and they're really excited about this because of those opportunities that it presents for those border cities. Transportation costs are so low, if you're right across the border, to enter in those types of production partnerships could actually mean a lot for people in those smaller towns. You have to find it, though. That's the hard work.
Also, I mean, I imagine that our Toyota plant in San Antonio could be impacted by this. And how do you see that impact?
Well, right. So there's two possible impacts. I mean, one is that they'd have to find a way to increase the production here in order to qualify for the $16 an hour, right? So they might take some production out of Mexico. Or, you know, I think it's been estimated by the Congressional Budget Office that the other alternative is that they could just take the tax option, right? They could just pay the tariffs. And the CBO estimated that this provision might mean that companies end up paying about $3 billion in additional tariffs just because they can't fulfill that provision, right? So I think it could be very mixed for the plants there in San Antonio.
Well, so I'm interested by when you say mixed. You're saying there's some, it could be negative, but I mean, can you weigh that out for me?
Sure, right. So the real concern is that costs are going to rise because right now, if you can bring in the parts from Mexico and then have your skilled workers work on them in San Antonio, that's a win. It's more efficient, right? And if we lose that option, then those costs go up. Your parts become more expensive, so that can become more costly. You know, but at the same time, if you think about the workers, like maybe they do have to shift a couple more jobs into the United States, so the auto workers here might gain a little bit, but the company as a whole has higher costs. And so does that make sense? That's why I think it's mixed. I mean, one of the things that I've found in some of my research is that, you know, the U.S. and Mexican workers are actually complements in production, which means if you look at the trends in employment over time, they move really closely together. They don't move in opposite directions. It's not like, you know, you could either produce something here or in Mexico. It's you're producing it in both places, and both places are doing part of the same production process, which means that, you know, shifting jobs from Mexico to the U.S. isn't necessarily a net win for North America.
Now, the USMCA is also a temporary deal. It allows future administrations to further, you know, make some alterations along the way. Is that important to you, Jeff Mosley, especially seeing how some of the final details that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, put on the deal?
It's real interesting in this discussion that we really recognize the difference between an agreement and a treaty. And that's what's so significant about USMCA is that it really is a more formal binding agreement between Canada and Mexico and the United States to literally create, I think Dr. Robertson was saying, you know, this single trade entity. And to have it up for review on a regular basis is not something that we're excited about. That causes more uncertainty, and businesses do well with certainty. And businesses are risk averse. And so all this heavy lifting that's going into updating the treaty that has to go before the Senate now for ratification, we would say that would be good to come back in another 25 years and review it. But we're not as excited about having language in there that brings it up, you know, every 5 years or so. That's just in the business cycle, that's some uncertainty that is not going to be helpful to having a healthy trade zone created by Mexico, Canada, and the United States having a treaty.
Now, Jerry Schwabel with the International Bank of Commerce in Laredo, how do you see this being able to look at this? I mean, it has a 16-year sunset, right?
Is
this,
right.
So it's not designed to be a long-range deal.
Yeah, it goes past pretty fast. 25 years went by pretty fast. So it's incumbent upon us to be engaged and be part of the process. Make sure we don't make the mistake that we did with NAFTA, where, you know, we were heavily involved at the onset, and the private sector now has created a structure to remain engaged and make sure we monitor and track all of the issues that we talked about in this negotiation. But I want to get to a point where we're talking about the North American integration model in order for us to compete globally. That's what it's all about. When we talk about, we do this in Canada, we do this in the United States, we do this in Mexico, at what point will we talk about we're doing this in North America? It happens to be in this part of North America. We're closer in San Antonio. We used to talk about Aguascalientes, where we may be sourcing some of the products for the Toyota plant here, or León is closer than maybe Kentucky, you know, or South Carolina. I think that's where we're looking at that whole model of economic vitality for the small and medium enterprises that are capturing in one country a benefit like Mexico with their increase in wages, but also creating good trade servicing jobs in other states like Pennsylvania and Illinois and Wisconsin, and also in parts of Canada, in Alberta and Nova Scotia. That's what we talk about in North America. That's what we're talking about.
So I remember President George W. Herbert Walker Bush talking about wanting to create this giant trade from Canada to Tierra del Fuego, but there's not a whole lot south of Mexico other than maybe Brazil that really that can measure up to the size of even Mexico's economy.
Well, that's why it's important that this USMCA becomes a template for future agreements. And the president has said that, and Congress has said that. Let's take this model, which is basically three countries, which is, you know, just an example of itself of 25 years of experience, enhance it, strengthen it, modernize it, and then take it and make it become a template for other countries to use so that we can all work together and revitalize our economies.
And this uncertainty question that Jeff Mosley brought up about, you know, having to renegotiate this deal, you see that just the momentum of businesses and being involved constantly will sort of counter play that's not a disruptive force because that can be managed.
Absolutely. And we have been living under that veil of uncertainty for a year now, and whether this was going to go through or not. And that was not good. Uncertainty is not good for business. And we see it rapidly. The first place you notice it is in border communities because you see the flow slow down or you see the flow increase. And we saw that there was a slowdown. But I think now, as a result of what's happened and the enthusiasm that's coming out of now this the new USMCA after January, and we have the Senate to ratify it as well. Let's get back to work, and let's get back to really making sure that this will be a win-win-win for all.
When it goes to the Senate, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry Schwabel, well, this is an up or down vote only in the Senate.
Correct.
They are not allowed to mark it up or do anything at all. If we'd had that, then we'd never get a trade deal done. So we have the Senate and other players decide, okay, they will either do an up or down vote. The discussion is now being held by both sides, people on the right and on the left, whether or not this deal actually works for them. And the consensus is that there are enough people in the middle who are looking at the benefits of this. And even though there are some people who are saying that this trade deal has moved further to the left than they originally wanted or was originally presented to Congress, and some people are calling this a progressive trade agreement, what does that mean? We'll figure that out when we come back from this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number is 210-614-8980. What would you have put in the USMCA if you had a voice in this entire negotiation? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the USMCA. If you weren't paying attention, you were following that other thing that was happening in Washington, D.C. last week. What was it? They impeached some guy? I don't remember anything about that. But also, the House passed the USMCA. A lot of people were complaining that Nancy Pelosi had held this up for a year. And during that time, she was making some changes and alterations to the deal for herself. And some people are claiming, including many people in Pelosi's posse, saying that this is a progressive trade agreement and it has moved to the left and it has some provisions that protect American workers and which weren't in there before. We'll take a look about that. If you have a question, comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980. We have an email from Renee. He asks, which industries stand to benefit the most from the USMCA? Jeff Mosley, President and CEO of the Texas Association of Business, what do you see as the industries that will really be able to do something with this?
Great question. There's no doubt that Texas benefits mightily from this trade agreement, and especially in the area of agriculture. So immediately, the ag products that we've been exporting, there's going to be more opportunities there. That's why we've worked with Farm Bureau and the Cattle Raisers Association on getting ratification in the House. But the other area that's pretty fascinating is that Mexico's constitution has been updated to allow for foreigners to come in and help them with their oil and gas exploration. And clearly, Texas has so much to offer in that area. And of course, manufacturing, we've talked about, you know, kind of the poster child of that is Toyota. The supply chain that we have already in place is just going to grow stronger. And the opportunities along the border, and especially for our logistics hub like San Antonio, are dramatic related to the supply chain discussion. So our future is very, very bright, and the ratification and formalization of USMCA has really got Texas written all over it.
Jerry Schwabel, I see pharmaceuticals or the industry supposed to benefit from this. How so?
Well, one of the provisions that is part of the negotiations with the Democratic Working Group was the elimination of the time period where some of these pharmaceuticals, what they call biologics, would be reduced the time period of 10 years that was in the negotiations of when they could be able to be opened up to the generic market. That was eliminated as the final hours of the negotiations. That may create a concern to some that the search to lower the cost of these prescription drugs by eliminating the 10-year provision of now allowing it to be opened up to the generic market, that it may stop slow down some of the research because that is the major cost for these pharmaceuticals. But I think the consumer may benefit, but there are going to be some concerns. There'll be some pain to the pharma sector that they may have to adapt and change. You know, right now you know that prices in Canada and prices in Mexico are lower than they are in the United States, but perhaps this may or may not have been a success to be seen whether the total elimination of that 10-year provision and go to zero, how it will affect pharma and the prices of pharmaceuticals here in the United States. That's one of the unknowns right now.
Raymond Robertson with the Mossbacher Institute for Trade, Economics, and Public Policy at Texas A&M University. What do you see as the big benefit to the consumer with this agreement?
Well, I think that's a great point. I think that as an economist who teaches international trade, right, one of the things that we teach on day one is the benefits of trade are to the consumers first and foremost. So we have much lower prices, and we've seen this as a result of NAFTA. In consumer goods, we were able to bring in avocados, agricultural goods from Mexico, and we also see other prices that you don't always associate with Mexico, but lower prices of cars, lower prices of other types of consumer goods, electronics, computers are a big one. We've seen the prices of those drop a lot. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're sharing this production with Mexico. So consumers are expected to be a tremendous winner from this agreement going forward, and that's very exciting.
Does the trade war with China have any kind of impact on how much more we want to work with Mexico, Professor Robertson?
You know, I think that's another great point, actually, because when I was down in McAllen talking to folks, they were very excited about the trade war with China because Mexico competes with China directly in the U.S. market. And so if we're putting up tariffs against China and we have these trade frictions and uncertainty with China, that makes Mexico and the border in particular, the Texas-Mexico border, much more attractive for investment and production. And so I think people are very optimistic about the potential for production shifting from China back to Texas in particular as a result of the trade frictions with China. I think that's actually going to turn out very well for Texas and Mexico.
And Jerry Schwebel?
I think it's a very valid point that Dr. Robertson brings up. I think we've been seeing China investment in Latin America and South America and Central America becoming more and more visible. And Mexico would not have been any exception to that if the USMCA may not have come about as fast as possible. I think it had a major role to play in making sure that we got this thing wrapped up this year.
I'm seeing some really huge numbers when we talk about how many additional jobs in the automotive sector can be coming from the USMCA, at least 76,000 additional jobs in the automotive sector within 5 years. Jeff Mosley, can you explain, I mean, where are these jobs? That's a lot of jobs.
It's a very wonderful question that really drives us more closely to work with Mexico because we must depend on, you know, a vibrant labor force. And as we know, demographically, our labor force is shrinking due to retirements from baby boomers, as well as just our population growth has really almost stalled out. Mexico is actually facing some of these challenges themselves, and they're probably going to have to find workers from Central America to come in and help alongside their labor force. But that is the beauty of USMCA, is that it does give us this single market. And there is no doubt that Texas has benefited mightily from the workforce of Mexico. And the immigration issue, while it is not directly tied to USMCA, it's a first cousin to this discussion, And by getting USMCA resolved, it is a bedrock and a foundation for helping us resolve the immigration question. So that's what I believe as we get into the next term of the next president, there's opportunities because this trade issue is resolved to look at how to resolve immigration.
And Jeff Mosley, Nancy Pelosi's speaker, did make some changes to the agreement that they call this now a progressive trade agreement. They moved it further to the left. Anything in there that you can point to that you find you would rather not, she have not have done?
Well, you know, of course, we know that the Electoral College vote has driven a lot of this discussion. And so necessarily the administration has worked alongside, you know, Pelosi to find ways to make sure that labor has a place in this agreement. So if that's what it takes to get the agreement done, you know, so be it. But we also know that there was discussion in this agreement on, you know, where the three countries would agree if any other countries were to come in, back to your China question. And it's been kind of nicknamed the poison pill. So I haven't had time to see the final document, but at one time there were discussions about saying, look, if you're going to trade with another country, you need to come back to the family of NAFTA, the USMCA, and let us all take a look and give us the ability to veto or to approve that trade relationship.
All right, and Jerry Schwabel?
Well, I think Mr. Mosley had the vision early on a year ago to really making sure that Texas labor, which has been very friendly to business community, was engaged and involved. And that's one of the things, throwing labor in the environment into the agreement versus side agreements. And I think the Texas TAB and the Texas Association of Business did a great job in making sure that the 12 Democrats that were critical to getting the 36 total Texas delegation were critical. So I think TAB called it right.
Yep. Raymond Robertson with the Mossbacher Institute for Trade, Economics, and Public Policy, Texas A&M University. Does this leave plenty on the table for three partners? I mean, I think the agreement, the continent does well when each of the three partners does well.
I think this is a great foundation for moving the relationship forward. I mean, there's still a lot of unresolved issues between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Whether or not it's building the wall, taking land from private citizens in Texas to build this wall, or other migration provisions, or there's a lot of tariffs that have still been imposed upon Mexico and Canada, just for other issues that are outside of the agreement. So I think that this is a great foundation. I think it's a fantastic step forward, but I think we have a lot more that can be done to help strengthen the relationship between our friends. I mean, this is our North American family, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that our neighbors are prospering, and we do that through successful trade relationships. And I think there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm very optimistic about getting it done.
And back to Jerry Schwabel at the International Bank of Commerce in Laredo. Do you think that this could be a watershed opportunity for the United States and for the Trump administration to work with Mexico ongoing, have a positive relationship, there's always going to be some of these other issues that was brought up, walls and other things, but working with Mexico to improve their economy, that's going to be something.
Absolutely. I think the relationship has been good, and I think it will become even stronger for the two administrations to work together. As the purchasing power of the Mexican improves and the United States economy, continues to get more stronger and stronger, I think all of those other, outliers that are out there being critical will basically be forgotten.
Right. And maybe work to bring some jobs and prosperity and stability further into Central America.
Correct.
So that we don't see the crisis that we have now with people coming from Central America.
Absolutely. A strong economy will solve a lot of those critical other problems.
And justice and police work and all those other good things that have to happen. All right, I want to thank all of our guests, Jerry Schwabel, International Bank of Commerce in Laredo, Jeff Mosley, President and CEO of Texas Association of Business, and Raymond Robertson with Texas A&M University, Mossbacher Institute for Trade, Economics, and Public Policy. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.